Ride your bike on the Story Bridge or Ivory Street Tunnel. The Tour to Brisbane is coming on Sunday, April 14. Mums, dads, kids, register for Community Ride. Sponsored by the Sunday Mail and tourtobrisbane.org. The Big Breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hello there. Welcome to the catch up. Very nice of you to come along us on this journey. Plenty on the show today. Before we get there, you noticed something very interesting about the CEO for Levi's Jeans this morning.
Hasn't washed them in the last 10 years. They've just floated the company on the New York Stock Exchange.
Okay.
You see that?
There is a there's a company, and I think they're Australian.
Nudie.
Thank you.
Nudie, I got a pair of their jeans. If you do anything wrong, they fix them up for free.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to wash them either.
What do you do with them, Rob?
You put them in the freezer.
Bang.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Kills all the germs. I used to work at General Pants, so I know all this stuff. I sold a million Nudie jeans. Very good at it.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Do they have good stretch ones? I'm a stretch jean fan, so you can hop on your pushy.
Yeah, nice stretchy fabric as well.
Mine's
not cheap. Nudie jeans.
Is that any jeans or only nudies that you shouldn't wash?
Well, leather pants, you can't wash. So
what do you do if you've got a stain on it?
Leather pants. Mardo's got heaps of them.
What about my arseless chaps? What am I meant to do? Because they are stained.
Yeah. They're going to freezer.
Right, let's go around the room. Brendo, leather pants?
No.
Nick, leather pants?
No. No.
There was a bit of hesitation. Mardo, leather pants. No. Robin?
Yeah.
How many is the question?
Yeah, I've got well, if
red,
you consider...
Red, yellow, maroon.
Yeah, if you consider fake leather as well, like if you can consider pleather as well as leather.
Are we up to double figures?
Not quite, but almost.
Good Lord. How many leather jackets would you have?
That is well and truly, that'd be in the 20s.
Mm. Oh, my God. How many cows, if we connected all your shoes... to your pants, to your jackets. How many cows would be in the paddock that you call your wardrobe?
I don't know. 12?
Less than you've eaten, Mardo.
So yeah.
We can't be pointing fingers,
Nick.
I'm doing the internals, you're doing the skin.
Yeah, and most of my stuff I buy secondhand, so, you know, someone else has had a crack. And that's how I know about the freezer, because, you're not going to buy a secondhand pair of leather pants without doing something.
Are there pockets in leather pants?
Yep.
Are they hot?
They can be. I took two pairs overseas to America to wear when it was freezing cold.
Depends who's wearing them, am I right?
Yeah.
Haven't gotten to what's on the show today, so we might do that right now. Between the sheets is back, sexy lingerie rats.
Yeah.
Lingerie rats.
I found a really great study which I shared with you.
Well, it's a study. I don't know if it's a great study. Sexy lingerie rats, so.
We also had a rather serious chat about that little guy who got trapped under a root of a tree.
You've really undersold that.
Okay. Well, every time I say it, he corrects me. So I'm looking at Mardo going, am I saying it correctly?
Yeah. No. Squashed by a tree.
There you go.
Yeah, he was squished.
Poor kid.
Anyway, we got some amazing calls around people who had survived their injuries. And then we also separately got a call from a guy called Mark of the Goldie who was amazing.
Yeah, he survived the Granville train disaster. Bogan News is back. And can of worms, a bloke cannot be changed after 35. That is what Mardo is saying. See if you agree.
Also talked about brown toilet seats.
You did. That got cleared up very quickly, what you were talking about.
No, no.
Is it what it seems?
A lot of elbow grease.
Come out with, he's got a brown toilet seat at home. Oh, no.
Oh,
Mardo's had Mexican night again.
Touching that.
Oh, do you? You must get closer.
Too close.
Disgraceful.
3 point. He's gone for the 3-pointer.
Yellow card in.
Come on, Mardo. Try dunking.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
There was a really interesting news story on Nine News last night that fascinated both Mardo and I, but for very different reasons. And it is now a double page spread in today's paper on page 6 and 7. It's about a young fella by the name of Connor. He was 12 years old, and a few months ago, he got crushed by a tree at his grandmother's property near Kingaroy. I remember there was the air helicopter had to come in and save him. Now, your interest in this was about the tree.
And the tree fell over and then it sprang back to life.
Well, explain that to me. So he was playing after the storms had gone through that area.
So what happens, and it'll happen probably over in Western Australia more than anywhere, when trees get really wet and then the wind blows, they can topple and they can loosen the root ball and they just fall over. And you see it happen on high winds, and that's what happened at this thing. So the tree fell over, and then the people, and there's a photo of this young bloke, Connor. The tree ball would be probably 2.5-3 metres high. So this is out of the ground, if you understand a root ball.
Yep,
the
massive.
The tree's horizontal, lying on the ground. Okay, there's a photo of him half an hour before the tree got back up like a resurrection. It was like the Lord. It rose again because...
Is that actually what happened?
There must have been a root, one of the roots, and probably the strongest roots, the bottle root, the tap root, it goes down, it stays. So it's the one that goes direct, vertically downwards, okay? The horizontal, the surface roots would have, you know, they would have all snapped.
Seared off and that's why it fell.
The people, the guys who are, started chopping up the tree, okay? So they would have taken, so the tree's toppled over because of all the weight, and then they started taking the top part of the tree off and therefore didn't have all the weight and it must have stood back up and
so
he got crushed.
So the root was like a leverage and went, right, the tree's gone back up.
Yeah, that's right. This part, was the root ball was so heavy that it righted itself like one of those things that you push over and it comes back up. They've taken all the weight off the top and it crushed him up to his, like crushed all his chest and everything. Apparently only his head was left out.
Okay, so that's where Mardo's interest in this story began and ended.
No, I was still interested. I just went, geez, that kid should have died.
Well, that's where I got interested because his mum was on the news last night and she actually went through the injuries this poor kid suffered.
Came out with a broken femur, 8 broken ribs, 2 collapsed lungs, a squashed heart, a hematoma on the side, and then he's had a full airway reconstruction.
Squashed heart got me.
An airway reconstruction.
Everything got
crushed.
The basic
of life. And this kid is walking around. He met the paramedics yesterday and he is going to be fine. And it just made me stop and think. There would be people listening who something has happened to them or something has happened to a family member where they really should not have lived. A miracle has occurred. Maybe there was a car accident and they broke every bone in their body.
Yep.
I want to hear your miracle stories.
Well, how did you survive your injuries and what were those injuries?
Squashed heart.
Squashed heart.
Brett of Wynnum, what happened?
Chucking up a house at Clayfield. So I gave way and had a bit of an accident.
Hold on. I think you're a house lifter and a house must have done something to you. Can you go again?
And your phone, mate.
So I gave way and part of the house come down, landed on me.
Oh, my Lord, it's like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Okay, what happened?
I had a few injuries, fractured skull in a couple of spots, fractured dislocated neck.
Oh, my
God. I crushed the bone and put a few other injuries.
Yeah, we did say, how did you survive that? Yeah.
How did you survive that, Brett?
I don't know. I woke up in hospital.
So did they then come over and get a jack and jacket off you and pull you out?
No, it didn't come all the way down. Part of the side gave way and still
went
down me and part of the house. Yeah.
How long was recovery?
I was on workers' comp for... nearly 2 years, I think. Gone 2 years.
Are you back doing it, Brett?
No, I can't do that. Not after injury.
No, yeah, fair enough.
Tough work, that one.
Wow, but you've survived.
Yes, thanks for staying with us, Brett.
Mark of the Goldie, what happened?
I was a young bloke mucking around with a mate of mine in Sydney many, many years ago, and we were in the Granville train accident,
January 1974, would that be correct?
That's correct.
Where a train went into a bridge.
26 people died. How many people died?
I think it was 28. I was 14 at the time. I'm 60 now.
So were you trapped?
My mate was. He ended up with 2 broken legs, broken hip, crushed lungs, crushed. They pulled him out of a 7-inch cavity. That'll give you an idea.
A 7-inch cavity. Oh, my God.
The only thing hanging out of the cavity was his shoulders and head.
I guess you were next to him, though.
Yeah, I was actually running around in a carriage, as you do when you're young and stupid.
Yeah.
And we were just sort of, I don't know, just mucking around. And, I tripped over. And as I tripped, we heard this almighty crash. And then I woke up and, the bridge is on us.
Is he still alive today?
Yeah, he's my best mate. Yeah, he's still alive. He's in Sydney. He's actually an accountant.
How are all his joints going? It'd be like a whole rugby league career in one afternoon.
Yeah, not good. No, he's got really bad arthritis in his hip, and he's now actually walking with calipers because all his legs were crushed.
Yeah,
they nearly took them off, but they put him in calipers. Yeah.
Oh, Mark.
Do you remember much of it, Mark?
I do actually. Believe it or not, I do. Yeah.
What do you remember?
About 20. I had nightmares. I suppose it was mainly the dead bodies, people screaming. Yeah.
People screaming, people dying around you.
And I think the thought that, it could catch fire, all these things go through your head. Yeah, so...
Could you crawl out of that train that day? I can remember it, mate. I was a young bloke, but I remember watching it on TV during the Christmas holidays going, oh, my God, they had... It was one of the first tragedies where they had live footage. We'll go live to Granville all day long on TV, and it was school holidays.
No, I got out. I started to get out, and then I thought, nah. And I crawled back in with Josh, and I was just holding his hand.
Oh.
His hand that I could see, and I was just crying. So I thought I'd lost him, yeah. So I just stayed there until I got him out.
Final question, Mark. How long did that stay like that for? How long was he in there for?
He was in there for... I remember they had to get like 60-ton jacks, and they said 60-ton about four times to me. I didn't know what they were talking about till later, and they went up next to me, and they were really concerned because they couldn't put a beam across it to lift.
Yeah.
They had to just use the pin in the jack to push up.
Yeah.
And that's when they literally dragged me out by the leg screaming. I didn't want to let him go, but they said, if it comes down, we don't want to lose both of you. So,
my gosh.
What a story you have, Mark.
Thank you so much for sharing it with us. It's all come about because there is a miracle kid walking amongst us. His name is Connor. He's a 12-year-old boy, and a tree root fell on him.
Oh, the whole tree.
The whole tree.
Yeah, but the roots were the thing that trapped him.
That crushed him. He was crushed by the bottom of the tree.
And this was his mum last night on the telly talking about his injuries.
Came out with a broken femur, 8 broken ribs, 2 collapsed lungs, a squashed heart, a hematoma on the side, and then he's had a full airway reconstruction.
But we saw him last night talking to paramedics and walking around. He is truly a miracle child, and his dad has joined us. Hey, John of Caboolture.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Well, we just started talking about this and you rang up. Can you correct anything that we haven't covered off on? Tell us about the tree, about the grandmother, everything.
Look, I wasn't actually there, so it was actually one of the hardest 35, 40 minutes of my life
on
the phone listening to all this. Me and his mother are quite close. They're obviously separated, but she had it on speakerphone and I was sort of, you know, I wanted to be there with him.
God.
Yeah, no good. No good for anybody to go through.
Are we correct? We said the tree sprang back up. Is that...
So what happened was a big storm went through, made an absolute mess. So they went up, and the kid loves school. He hates having days off school, and his mother sort of said, well, just have a day off today. We'll go up and help Grandma, you know, tidy up and go and do the good thing. And, that's what happened.
And so literally he was playing under the root. The tree came back and then pinned him to the ground.
Yeah, well, if you've seen that photo last night on the news of him standing in front of the tree, there was actually a photo taken about half an hour, 40 minutes before the accident actually occurred, because they were just amazed on how big the tree was, you know. So there was a couple of other kids standing there as well. But, they reckon it's fairly common. I go out west a fair bit, and a lot of the farmers say that it's, you know, it's a common thing for trees up stand. But you just don't ever think it's going to happen to yours, you know.
John, his injuries were unbelievable. It must have been really touch and go there for a little while.
Yeah, we didn't know where we stood, to be honest with you. It was just one of those things. It was just a waiting game for us. It was very, very hard.
Kids are amazing. Tell me, what do you mean by squashed heart? Was the pressure so intense?
Well, when he actually came into the hospital, because I was actually there before the helicopter actually got there, just about past an hour ago. I met him there and he was like a balloon, and they just reckon all the capillaries after the pressure, they all sort of just release into your body and they just expand. And he was like a balloon, but squashed the top of his heart, I believe they told us. But they weren't too concerned about the heart because they reckon it's so resilient. Like the heart's one of those muscles where it'd be a really big, you know, big blow to sort of affect the heart. It was everything else that was, you know, Danny Old was told to be prepared. He may have some head issues. That was probably one of my biggest fears. Just hearing that, you know, from a doctor. it was one of those things we had to push through.
And is he, I mean, he looked amazing last night. Has he got long-term, you know, the prognosis is great?
We don't think that there's long-term. I mean, the problem with it is Connor's a very fit, strong-headed boy. Like, I do a lot of training. He does a lot of running.
Yeah.
He can't do that now. And to tell a 12-year-old that was doing it all before that he can't is, you know, it's not a nice thing to tell him.
And is that a permanent thing?
We don't think so. It's been we've been told that it's time. Like they told us every day that he's in hospital laying on his back is a week recovery. So then we worked it out with over 12 months recovery. The two squash lungs, it's phenomenal what he's actually doing now, you know.
Kids are made of rubber, aren't they?
It's the main thing is he is here. It's an incredible story, and we thank you for sharing it with us, John.
No problems at all.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Okay, let's talk Married at First Sight, not because I want to go to the ins and outs of what's happening with Jessica and her new partner, Dan, now that the experiment on Sunday, the counsellors decided they could stay in this social experiment as a new couple and Gimpy Mix gone home. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. You've probably seen all the promos
on Tinder. Look at that.
Oh, he is too, and he's got two sheep with him.
Yep, two sheep on Tinder. What chick wouldn't...
Marto's just shown me a photo.
Somebody sent it to me.
Are you not looking him up for yourself or your daughter?
Right. Swipe anyway. Right for sheep. There'll be Kiwis all over that.
I want to just talk about one couple that I'm kind of interested in, and that is Ning and Mark. Now, Ning is the one who has three children from Townsville, and they have not had sex yet.
Oh.
And it's been going for, I don't know, nearly 10 weeks. And basically they are on their last ever date before they have to decide whether they're going to go into the real world and continue with their relationship.
Oh, God, this show's finally going to end. Oh, good Lord, thank you.
But, Mark, I've got a soft spot for Mark. This bloke is in his 40s. He's been in the military for a long time. He's never said I love you to a woman. So him reviewing his whole relationship with Ning last night went something like this.
I've actually enjoyed married life. I think it's probably been, taken away the experiment, it's easily been probably the most enjoyable yet stressful and at times frustrating relationship I've ever been in, so I've got no regrets and I'm glad it happened with you, so.
Oh, that's so cute.
That's a farewell speech you've already heard. See you later.
I know, her reaction was not great, but I just feel like here is a bloke showing us on national television that if you really want to change the way that you live and who you are, that's how to do it.
Oh, my God. Robin, are you that? No, you're better than that. You are better than that. I watched that. I have seen that bloke in the early parts of the show. He is such a dedicated solo man and single bloke.
But he doesn't
bloke.
Want to be.
He thinks
he's the bloke from Melbourne, right?
Yes, he is from Melbourne. He's the one with one cup, one plate, one bowl.
That's him. Yeah. That's him.
Living motel room style.
He is full-time for the rest of his life on his own.
No, he doesn't want to be. All I'm going to believe that Mark has the ability to change
then.
Himself.
Get back yourself.
Yes, get a double bed, perhaps.
He does have a double bed. He's just got two pillows.
He has a big pillow he lies with.
Yes.
Now,
he's trying to replace the pillow with a human.
All right, hold on. We're watching it Sunday.
I wouldn't want to blacklight that pillow. That's gotten a nudge some morning. It's like a Wilson. It's got a face drawn on it.
Yes, exactly.
A few feathers flying around the place.
What do you reckon?
Earrings.
What do you reckon? Yeah.
I'm watching the show. I'm watching this maths on Sunday night. Hillary was there. She tells me, what's the baldy guy that's with?
Mike.
Mike.
With Heidi.
Righto. He's been having... Now, he's a 44-year-old electrician. Right. Why is he having a crack at Hillary and her mates twice now at Burley? There's a place like Burley at the Pavilion trying to crack on to 20-year-old girls at the Pavilion down the Gold Coast. Just sits in the corner of the bar, and because he's on maths and he's famous, he's just trying to pick them off.
Because that's what he did before he was married to Heidi, and now he's clearly gone back to his old life.
Yeah. All right. Can I just... That made me make a comment. Oh, it was more a statement that I made at home, and I'll make it again right now. There's nothing good about, you cannot grab a bloke after he hits 35 and he's ever been married. You can't straighten him out. He is all the way gone. You cannot straighten a bloke out if he's still single at 35 years of age.
No,
I've watched it over the years with mates, and girls have always gone, how many girlfriends do you get? I'm talking to everyone here. That go to you, haven't you got any lovely single mates? And they're doing it to this day. And I go, yeah, I've got three, but they're past 35. You wouldn't want to know them. You have no chance of straightening them out.
Okay, do you want to
You can't change them.
You can't change them.
Wait, do you want to open
that's
this?
Not bad.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
What are you doing? So your statement, you two, is a bloke cannot be changed after the age of what, 30, 35,
40? No, 30, you'll be right. 35, you're fine to go, geez.
Mark has looked down the barrel of his single life with his one plate and one cup and gone, I want something different.
All right, so you're saying age doesn't matter.
Dirty second pillow.
Yeah.
I'm saying age doesn't matter. Sarah of Barton. A bloke cannot be changed after 35. That's what Marto says. What do you reckon?
I agree with him.
Oh, dear. Why?
Men see relationships very differently, and I don't think they see them the same as women. So they may want companionship, but not necessarily a full-fledged relationship.
Sarah, would you say that every bloke needs to be changed, but if you get hold of them early enough, it's possible to reprogram us, but if you get us too late, we've all got, or well, some of them have got 12 TAB accounts, you know, and all the rest. They've got too much, they've got too much set in their ways.
Correct, yeah. So I don't think that after the age of 35, men even want to be changed or need to be changed. Yeah. They're quite set in their ways. Yeah.
So do you reckon a bloke...
Chicks never need to be changed, though, do they? Just perfect. What are the odds?
They
incredible.
Pretty much are.
Yeah.
Sarah, do you reckon that then some blokes would just be happy to be single for the rest of their lives?
Yes, absolutely. So I think that they may want companionship, but not necessarily a full-fledged relationship.
Okay. See, what happens there, Rob, just to tell you, what happens, the guys who have been married for 8 to 10 years, they start to drift back to the house of that bloke and that they start reliving their single life when they get a spare chance with him.
My mates and I talk about it. My mates now that are married with kids, other stand-up comics, we've all said if we end up getting a divorce, that's it. It's game over. Hmm. There's no way I'm planning a wedding again, going through a bait. You'd be an idiot.
Oh, then you'll be missing out, people. Sammy.
I'm planning a second wedding. I'm so sad.
Oh, no. How good was my second wedding?
Oh, yours was. Yeah, Thank you. Exception to the case. But, God, I'm with you, Nick. I would never go again, ever.
Yeah, there's no way.
Sammy of Hamilton, what do you reckon? A bloke cannot be changed after 35, agree?
Yeah, I just don't think you should change them. Why do we have to change them?
Legend.
Why do women have to change someone? Leave them alone. There's someone out there for everybody. So just let him be who he is. Why change him? If you change him, he's just going to change back and it's going to end up to shit. So it's not going to work.
And you'll be disappointed. What do you think about these blokes on this Married at First Sight show? Are they the problems with them?
To be quite frank, I don't really watch it. I watched a bit of it last night because I just find it hilarious rubbish if you want to tune out to nothing.
Yeah, but that's pretty much
it. It's not reality. It's not, you know, and I know we all need time out from our busy lives, but I just think it's pushing the wrong point where why change somebody? You see all these people on that show that are not who they are. And it doesn't work.
Sammy, the original question was, can't change blokes over 35. So have you married or got a partner?
Yeah, I'm married. I've been married for 25 years.
Oh, okay.
I can't change him. He is who he is. And I accept that.
Oh, so has he changed much?
Not really.
He's still the same fella he was 25 years ago.
He's still got things that I just go, oh, my God, I can't cope with that. But I do because I've got issues too. Everyone's got issues.
Okay,
and
fair call.
If you live a life of fakeness, then, you know, you're not going to find anyone if you're not true to yourself.
Mm. Just one more. There is this bloke who sleeps with a pillow and he only has one plate. He's beyond help, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he's in another basket case. He's got issues.
Normally you're meant to change your pillows once every year or so, but in this bloke's situation,
That's true. It's going to be a three-way relationship. Whoever the woman is, the pillow and him. 100% of callers say that you can't change a bloke over 35.
No, I believe you can, only if you want to.
Why would you want to?
Listen, who are you listening to, a psychologist or us?
Oh, definitely not you.
Jeez.
Some caffeinated dickheads or a professional? Who are you listening to?
Big Breakfast, Triple M, top of 32 and cloudy today.
Do you want me to talk weather?
Well, okay, so the thing is that what's been happening today is every time Marto's been texting someone, any time that someone walks into the studio and has any sort of interest in anything, he attacks them with predictions on the weather.
Yeah, it's going to rain tomorrow.
And as normal as you are about being a weather guru, today is particularly, you know, you're getting very agitated.
I
want to know why.
Because I'm getting sweaty palms even thinking about this. Let's go to an analogy of a football club. Now, every football club has a number of these people who are a little bit simple like me, who are basic, but really love the club and could tell you who the club champion was back in 75 and all the way through to present day. That's me with weather, okay? I like my weather.
You're Rain Man with weather.
No, Rain Man is sort of
Fixates.
I would say he knows facts. I just get feelings. I'll tell you something.
Yep.
I've got a lot of sites. I've got a lot of apps on my phone, and they're all pointing to the one thing. It is going to rain tomorrow. So if we're not clear on that, I know I said that before OMO, and that was a large disappointment, and it stayed off the coast. Whereas ex-tropical cyclone Trev is in Australia. It's already arrived. It's come through customs, through the Northern Territory customs. It's slid down the southwest in Queensland, and then it's going to come across to the coast. It's a backdoor attack from Trevor.
Have you chatted to the Great Dividing Range? Are you sure that it's going to be able to get over there?
I hope so. It's only a plateau. It's all gravitational. It should drop. If it doesn't, I don't know what I'll do tomorrow. I'll have to apologise to a lot of people.
Oh, Nick, what could he do tomorrow if it doesn't rain?
Let's not worry about that. Let's get the facts sorted first. You think about that while I sort out the facts. At about 6 o'clock tonight, you'll all go, okay, step outside around 6 tonight, okay? Will you be home?
Yeah.
Step outside and say, Marto was right, it's just cooled down a little bit. There's a southeasterly will slide in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And from that, it is going to, the rain will come from the southwest, from the northwest, okay? It's going to slide onto us. Won't be heavy at first. It'll be enough tomorrow. There's a 90% chance it'll rain tomorrow. But the big thing is, for all those boys and girls out there who are surfers, there's going to be a little swell coming in through from that rain, a southeasterly swell, which means burly and snapper. If you don't have to go to work, you know, if you've got an outside occupation and it's too wet to work, get a surf in. Win-win.
Robin, Brendo, we've got this, don't we? We've got this recorded. We can go through tomorrow morning and tick away.
It'll be raining by 7 this tomorrow morning.
Okay, sorry.
There'll be a couple of light showers before 7, then it'll be raining decently, so you won't have to go to work if you're an outside worker.
7.
At 7 tomorrow
a.m.
morning. A.m., yeah.
So if it's not raining by 7 a.m., we have carte blanche to make you know.
Give me an hour.
Rain dance in the car park in his Marlin BCF undies.
Oh, well, they're in the water. I'll have to get them washed.
Wear something, for God's sake.
Hopefully they will in the rain. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. we've got 24 hours to come up with something.
I'll do a rain dance at 7:30 tomorrow if it's not raining heavily. I'll do
Marlin Boxes car park.
Right. See you there.
Yeah, because we're right on North End.
We're trying to prove. Just because we work in radio, do you have to do something if you're wrong?
Because it's fun and we get to actually make you put your money where your mouth is. You keep crapping on about the weather.
You do crapping on.
You'd rather I gave you each $10 and see me dancing in my undies. Let
a bit
tell
of both.
You.
Why not? Yeah, I could use $10.
I'm doing dancing for rain and throwing money away.
To put your money where your mouth is, or in this case, you tackle where the car's parked.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Let me give you a little background to how I found this particular research study. So last week at this time, we were discussing how I had discovered on my husband's birthday that the all-time ultimate present was to take him into a lingerie shop and let him pick some lingerie that he really liked. I then buy it.
For himself?
Well, for himself, I would wear it, but we both benefit.
Oh, he's not wearing it.
No, he's not wearing it.
Because a lot of blokes get to that age where they just turn.
Do they?
No.
You'd be surprised how many blokes are wearing their wives' undies.
Really? Mm. What for?
I think I would be
surprised.
If it's more than zero.
What, the little G makes them feel good?
I don't know, but I just continually hear stories about it.
Is there anything you'd like to tell us, Marta?
Not me.
Okay.
What are you looking up on the internet?
Yeah. No, not on the internet.
Anyway,
personal story. I hear people.
I know that in reverse. I know that so many women wear their husband's underwear because they're super comfy.
Why wouldn't you?
Do they? Yeah.
Particularly if you're pregnant. Oh, my Lord, yes.
Yeah, I think my wife took some pairs of my boxers while she was pregnant.
Yeah, it's just kind of roomy.
Doesn't that say something to girls? Maybe you're on the wrong track.
Potentially. Well, that gets me back to this study.
Yeah.
So then I started to look around and think, you know, is lingerie just a special occasion item, or does it truly have any impact on blokes? So if we as women are wearing it, what actually happens to our husband? And thank God for the Concordia University in Montreal.
Because they decided to use rats
as a way of working out how lingerie worked in the brain.
Oh, yeah.
So rats were trained to prefer mates that wore tiny little jackets. The study sought to understand.
G-string.
No, no. So here, during the tests, virgin male rats were only allowed to mate with rats that wore these little jackets. When released back into the general rat test group, which was mixed, the males automatically chose to mate with the jacket-wearing wet
They still had the jacket. Have you got to remove the jackets? Is there a clip on the jackets?
No, no, no. Okay.
It's hard to get
they
off.
They had some rats with jackets, some rats without jackets. These virgin rats
we
that
get
be...
What you
okay,
mean.
So they didn't.
What,
they left them on.
Have you got a photo of the jackets?
No. Mm. No, that would be slightly
rat porn,
weird.
That would be, wouldn't it? Yeah. Rat porn.
No, is that like rat strippers? They've introduced the virgin ones and then they've gone, no, she really likes me.
Now
she's given me her phone number. It's 4 digits, but I'm sure it works.
Do you want to learn what they were trying to get out of this? This is because the rats learned that when they visually saw the jackets, they were going to have sex.
Ah.
The study also found that the rats that mated with the jacket-wearing females were happier after sex and more excited in general.
Wouldn't cheese have worked?
No. What, like, you strap it to the back of their backs?
Yeah, you get a root and a piece of cheese.
The last rat study I saw was when they just gave them free cocaine.
Oh,
and then the ones that just had cocaine, they just kept doing it till they died.
Mm. Really?
Quickly.
What
is the research?
Rats?
How good is it being a rat?
Rat. Bloody oath. That's what this is about. Remember that time when they grew a human ear on the back of a rat?
Was that on the back? It was a pig's ear, wasn't it?
Pig's ear, wasn't it?
Do you want to hear what the research has concluded? That rats can learn to associate clothing, textures with excitement, imminent pleasure and sex. Mm. Theoretically speaking, the same is possible for your man. Sexy lingerie triggers a desire response, an automated excitement and an anticipation of rumpy bumpy.
Oh, goodness gracious.
See? All because of rats and lingerie.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Oh, dear.
No, I just want to know who knitted the rat lingerie.
What are you doing?
We've got a weird request. We're trying to make these rats fruit. Can you get a rat bra and rat panties together for us on your little sewing machine?
From a house down in Melbourne or on the Gold Coast, from the horrors of it, switch or even up the coast, it's Triple M. Bogan's gone. News.
G'day, Bogan News. Where are you this morning? Ah, there you are. I see you in the NT. It's back to Darwin for a Bevan story with it all.
Great.
How's this for a Bogan News story? The Northern Territory Liquor Commission has found the Palmerston Raiders Rugby League Club's Mad Monday celebrations in 2017. Do you know how good your Mad Monday is when it's being brought up in court 2 years later? Right?
Yes.
They've seen footage of their Mad Monday where they saw a drunk player get naked in a strip club beer garden, which is pretty fancy. I didn't know strip clubs had a beer garden. That's nice. You can get out for some fresh air.
He could play in the NRL with that sort of gear.
He's gone out there. He's pretended to relieve another man while a shirtless bloke with a tattooed chest sat at the bar being served by a naked barmaid.
Oh,
now, the Darwin Strip Club Sensations was fined $6,200 for breaches of the Liquor Act. The club's end-of-season festivities came to the attention of a passing-by licensing NT inspector when he wandered past on his way home from work just after 5 p.m, where he spotted a group of men at the club in fancy dress who showed signs of being drunk.
What are the chances of that?
Oh,
a licensing officer walking home.
Really?
Mad Monday. He saw a Mad Monday having fun and reported them. He'd already finished work, but I guess you never clock off when you're a true hero. Thanks for ruining their day, you absolute nerd. The only thing this story's missing is that some of them should have been charged for taking that bum's lunch money and flushing his head in the toilet. What an absolute dork.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
I want to appeal or speak to and draw in any parents of teenage girls. You might understand this concept. Nick, you grew up with all brothers?
No, just one younger sister.
Oh, you've had a younger sister. Righto. Yeah. Robin, younger
sister. I've got an older sister.
But no sons.
No, I've only got sons, no daughters.
All right. I saw something that reminded me, because my daughter been at home forever and then left for a year to go overseas and now she's back and a year and a half she left for it, she's back and I'd overlook this, that this used to happen and it's come back again. How do I start? The brown toilet seat.
Oh, fake tan.
Thank you.
Oh,
we could have let the drama go a little bit longer.
Sorry, I just know straight away. I've seen
this
movie.
How do you know? All
right. Because my sons have got girlfriends and fake tan is an absolute necessity, apparently, of this generation.
You swear they're taking the piss. When she comes out, when they put, if anyone doesn't understand how fake tan works, you come out, you put it everywhere. You seem to put
it
everywhere.
You've got to leave
and
it
you
and
think
then
that's
off.
A bit wrong. You get arrested in the modern world for pretending to be a dark skinned person.
I'm going to be honest. When I heard brown toilet seat, this is actually the best outcome for what was what was going on in my head. I thought maybe Hillary had been to some countries where you squat when you're using the bowl.
Ah, yes, and then overlooked them.
She's come back to the first world and whooshka.
Modern Aussie ways.
Yeah.
All right. I can't believe this because I thought that over with that. Mm-mm. Our bathroom, the kids' bathroom, has always been, since Hillary's been 15, and a girl uses makeup, and I understand that, and you can't say to them, how many times have I tried, hey, you don't need makeup. Of course you don't need makeup.
No, that's
when you get to our age, you need makeup. But at that stage, and when do girls need makeup? 30s?
Well, they don't. We want it.
When have you put on makeup?
Our Mato wears it for TV all the time. Well, it's the fake eyelashes that are funny.
Oh, mate. I go in there and
my
clean
wife
up
thinks
that
I've been to the strippers. I'm like, Looch, I was hanging out with Marto. You can believe me. He loves the glitter.
Shut up. The glitter. There's another thing. When they used to do that when she was young, putting glitter on. And, of course, it doesn't all hit their melon. It's all over the floor. It's all over the sink, the wall. And poor Harry, he has to share the bathroom with Hillary, and he's the one who has to put up with all these marks. I tell you what, there's petroleum or something in makeup that when you spill it into the sink, it is bloody hard. It's harder to get off than toothpaste.
No, you use makeup remover on the porcelain.
Well, I didn't know what that is.
Lord.
And then there's also overflow. Oh, actually, can I ask everyone to join in? 1-3-3-5-3. What is the worst thing that teenage daughters can do to your bathroom? It is despicable. You think about all the jars and bottles. They're beautiful. Why do they need this stuff?
Yeah, you're just a dinosaur.
What have they done? No, you watch. What have teenage and early 20-year-old daughters done to your bathroom with their products?
Annie of Narangba. Young girls, what have you got?
Oh, my God. The wax. It just drives me insane.
What are they using the wax for?
Eyebrows, legs, underarms, anything.
And then you've got to scrape it off.
Oh, and you can't. You think that you can get it off, but you can't.
No, wax is shocking.
Nick, Annie, tell Nick how you get it off, though. That's what he was wondering.
The only thing that I can find that gets it off is my husband's WD-40.
God. Oh, anything can get off with WD-40. I've heard that ice works, too.
I never thought of that. And
what about heating it up with a hairdryer or something?
No, well, then you get still running.
Yeah, of course.
And then when the little sticks that they use and they throw the sticks in the sink, drives me crazy.
Yeah. The paddle pop sticks.
But even girls' hair, is it from brushing? I reckon every 3 months I have to clean the drains out.
Tell me about it, Marto. Right. Well, especially when their hair goes down to their bum.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's a worry too.
John of Chambers Flats can add to this, can't you, John?
Yeah, I'm a plumber by trade, and I actually get a lot of work out of those young girls in the bathroom.
Tell me what you see.
They wash their hair, and it all goes down the shower drain and just blocks it up, mate.
So how do you get it out? Are you the same as me? You got to take the cover off and then if you can get to the S-bend, you go there, don't you?
Yeah, well, usually I have a go with the plunger first, and if that doesn't clear it, then I'll use a pair of long pointy nose pliers or I've got a mini eel goes down the drain.
Oh, you got a mini
disgusting.
Eel.
Wow.
Well, you should see. Have you ever had to clean it out, Robin?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay.
It's gross. But I lost an earring. Well, I lost an earring down there and I had to open it up. I know. But hey, the good thing was all the hair had cushioned the earring in the S-bend.
And caught it. Like a little nest.
Yes.
I just got a call yesterday from our real estate agent who said the house next door to us, they've had plumbing problems, right?
Yeah.
And there's my wife who was just pregnant. Apparently when you're pregnant, your hair starts
falling.
You're growing just too much. Much hair.
Yeah, you
do. The hair's falling
out. You grow more hair.
Yeah, you grow more.
And then the next door neighbour's got really thick hair and they're trying to figure out this plumbing problem.
Mm-mm.
It's probably these two chicks, they're just molting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You could make a coat out of what they're shedding.
So then what happens? Are these girls all over the suburbs with comb overs that I don't know about? Is that what's happening? Are you hiding? You got anything to hide?
No, I'm all good.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.